When's the last time you heard God's truth on abortion? Never? Well, Sue Boland shares the whole truth and nothing but the truth now on Probe.
Abortion continues to be a volatile issue and an emotional one in the United States. It's usually seen as a political issue, but I think it's way bigger than that. I believe we need to see abortion as spiritual warfare. We live in two dimensions at the same time: the physical world that we can see and touch and measure, and the unseen spiritual realm that is filled with God, angels, and demons. Jesus revealed to us that Satan is the thief who comes only to steal and kill and destroy. Abortion is one of the most wicked, heinous ways he inflicts pain and destruction on people God loves. He steals joy and peace from women who've had abortions, as well as some of the fathers of the babies who were killed in the womb. He steals babies from what should be the safest place on earth. He steals motherhood from women and fatherhood from men through abortion. He steals grandchildren from grandparents. Satan uses abortion to kill. Just in the United States, since Roe v. Wade made abortion legal, over 64 million babies have been murdered. In China, the horrible one-child policy that terrorized the Chinese people for 35 years resulted in 350 million baby deaths. And Satan uses abortion to destroy. Willingly choosing abortion for a pregnant teenager has been Satan's foothold in many families that were torn apart, a phenomenon I have seen with my own eyes. Abortion and its evil twin, infanticide, destroyed the natural ratio of boys to girls in China. Today, there are 30 million young men who cannot find a girl to marry because there aren't enough to go around. Abortion is an evil weapon in the hands of an unspeakably evil enemy. This week, we'll be talking about the spiritual battlefield of abortion. But please remember that not only does Jesus win in the end, he has provided us with spiritual armor that starts with truth. We'll pick up there tomorrow.
You've been listening to Probe with your host, Sue Boland. Jesus talks about how the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. From God's perspective, those are three of the realities of abortion. Get your free copy of Sue's transcript, Abortion, A Biblical Perspective, at probe.org. Join us next time, here on Probe.
Pro-choice advocates don't like the use of the word murder. They maintain that no one really knows when human life begins, and they choose to believe that the idea of personhood at conception is a religious tenet and therefore not valid. But it is a human life that is formed at conception. The zygote contains 46 chromosomes, half contributed by each parent, in a unique configuration that has never existed before and never will again. From the moment of conception, the new life is genetically different from his or her mother and is not a part of her body like her tonsils or appendix. This new human being is a separate individual living inside the mother, rather like an astronaut being protected and kept alive in space. The Bible doesn't specifically address the subject of abortion, probably since it's covered in the commandment, thou shalt not murder. But it does give us insight into God's view of the unborn. In the Old Testament, the Hebrew word for the unborn, yeled, is the same word used for young children. The Hebrew language did not have or need a separate word for preborn babies. All children were children, regardless of whether they lived inside or outside the womb. In the New Testament, the same word is used to describe the unborn John the Baptist and the already born baby Jesus. The process of birth just doesn't make any difference concerning a baby's worth or status in the Bible. We're given some wonderful insights into God's intimate involvement in the development and life of the preborn infant in Psalm 139. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. All people, regardless of the circumstances of their conception or whether they are healthy or handicapped, have been personally knit together by God's fingers. He has planned out all the days of the unborn child's life before one of them has happened. Chemical abortions now account for the majority of induced abortions in the U.S. Two drugs are used in tandem to end a pregnancy. The first pill, RU-46, or mifepristone or Mifeprex, all the same drug, shuts down progesterone. That's the pregnancy hormone that the developing embryo or fetus needs to survive and thrive. The first abortion pill blocks progesterone so the baby dies, and then the next drug, misoprostol or Cytotec, causes the uterus to contract and squeeze out the baby and other pregnancy tissue like the placenta. These drugs are unfortunately quite effective up to 7 weeks gestation, and then their effectiveness drops off. By the time the baby is 10 weeks along, for 1 in 6 women, the drugs won't fully empty the uterus. Dangerous complications can set in. What is also scary is that chemical abortions are so easy to obtain, they're like over-the-counter medications. No doctor is needed to supervise. If a woman has an ectopic pregnancy where the embryo grows in her fallopian tube instead of her uterus, she's going to have awful pain and needs a sonogram to see where the baby is. Some of the deaths from Mifeprex abortions were from women that never had an ultrasound. They were given the drug, they had a pregnancy in their tube, and they died. Thousands of women experience complications. The abortion pill is being touted as being as safe as Tylenol, which is a life-threatening lie. But then, abortion is spiritual warfare, and the enemy constantly lies and deceives us. But there's good news. Many times, even while swallowing the abortion pills and immediately afterwards, women wrestle with regret. There is a protocol called abortion pill reversal, where a doctor prescribes a dose of progesterone, the pregnancy hormone, to counteract what the mifepristone did. If it started quickly enough, there's about a 70% chance of saving her child. Thank you, Lord. What if prenatal tests reveal that a baby is going to be born sick or handicapped? There's no doubt about it. Raising a handicapped child is painful and hard. We need to ask ourselves, does the child deserve to die because of his handicap or illness? Life is hard, both for the handicapped person and for her parents. But it is significant that no organization of parents of mentally retarded children has ever endorsed abortion. Life is a lot harder for people with disabilities, but I can tell you personally that there is a precious side to it as well. I have lived most of my life with a physical handicap, but it hasn't stopped me from experiencing a fierce joy from living life to the fullest of the abilities I do have. I can honestly rejoice in my broken body because it is that very brokenness and weakness that makes it easier for others to see the power and glory of my Lord in me, because His power is perfected in weakness. What if a baby's going to die anyway, such as those with fatal genetic birth disorders? I think we need to look at the larger picture, one that includes God and His purposes for our lives. When a tragedy like this occurs, we can know that it is only happening because God has a reason behind it. His will for us is not that we live easy lives, but that we be changed into the image of Jesus. He wants us to be holy, not comfortable. The pain of difficult circumstances is often His chosen method to grow godliness in us and in the lives of those touched by the tragedy of a child's handicap. When it is a matter of life and death, as abortion is, it is not our place to avoid the pain. We need to view abortion, for whatever reason, from an eternal perspective. God is the one who gives life, and only He has the right to take it away. Every person, born or unborn, is a precious soul made by God in His image. every life is an entrustment from God we need to celebrate and protect. Millions of women live with the emotional and physical aftershocks of abortion. Although some do not seem to have been rocked by their choice, many, many women live with deep guilt and shame and denial. Some live with the physical effects of the hormonal shock of suddenly ending the massive construction job of their body building another human being inside her womb. Post-abortion syndrome or stress disorder is real for many women. The grief is real. The deep loss of the child is real. And many people need help facing the pain and getting through it. I asked a dear friend about her experience. It's been 48 years since her abortion. She told me, though the procedure was fairly easy, I knew the second it was over that I had done the wrong thing. I left that clinic empty, guilty, and depressed. It was the start of a lifetime of sadness and regret. I told no one other than my husband, and I kept that secret for over 30 years. I knew then that I had made the choice to end a human life. When I became pregnant later, the sadness and guilt actually multiplied. When I could feel the baby inside me, the intense feelings of shame and guilt consumed me for ending my first child's life. When my daughter was born and I held her for the first time and looked into her eyes, as happy as I was to have her, I also felt the worst pain I've ever felt because of what I had done 7 years earlier. Ending another's life, whether freely chosen or being pressured into it, is capital T trauma. The woman is shaped and changed by this trauma, and I'm so grateful for abortion recovery programs. They help women to experience grace and compassion as they confess their sin and receive forgiveness and cleansing from Jesus, who died for their abortion. Abortion is a hard choice for which there are hard consequences. But God's love and compassion and grace are bigger than all of it. And there is such good news in Romans 8:28 that God is able to make all things work together for good for those who love Him and are called according to His purpose.